Joining us now, Mike Griffith of DogNation.com. He has been up in Indianapolis covering the NFL Combine. 9 Georgia Bulldogs taking part to make their draft stock even higher for next month's NFL draft. Thanks for your time this morning, Mike. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I think they hope they made their draft stock higher. I'm not sure
right.
That's the case with all of them, though.
I was going to say, just give us what are a couple highlights. You say that. Was there something that maybe stands out to you that makes you say that, that maybe somebody didn't do what they were hoping to do in front of a lot of very important NFL scouts?
Yeah. You know, I thought Mecole Hardman, you know, his 4.33 40 was as advertised. We knew Mecole would be fast, of course. It got a little overshadowed by DK Metcalf running a 4.33 at 227 pounds, which kind of looked like a freak of nature or, I don't know, something made in a laboratory. I'm not sure. But that guy was unbelievable. If you saw the clip of him and the size and the muscle definition, you can just imagine how much hard work went into that for him. That kind of stole the show. But still, Mecole with that 4.33 and 17 reps on the bench, he's strong, he's fast. He caught the ball well. I thought Mecole Hardman had a good combine. I really did. Wouldn't say the same for Elijah Holyfield and Isaac Nauta. Again, this is just one part of the process, but it's a part of the process that they failed.
Sure.
Their football clips are great. Nobody's going to – look, Elijah Holyfield runs hard. He's a team captain. He plays special teams. He hits. He's got a football IQ. You know, he's a guy you want on your roster. But if you're going to evaluate him on his combine, his 40 was slow. There was only one running back slower than him at the combine. That's not good. Underclassmen, junior, same with Isaac Nauta. Isaac did not run well at 4.91, did not jump well. Again, just one part of the process is the combine, and those two underclassmen didn't do real well on their drills and their 40.
Now, when something goes sour, if you want to put it that way, for the combine for those two players, now we all know that Pro Day is coming up March 20th. Is this something in this process, as you put it, they will come back to Athens or wherever they're training the next couple of weeks? Is that now they will focus strictly, I guess, on the things they want to improve upon stat-wise for March 20th? Is that how that kind of works?
Well, I mean, theoretically, they've been focusing on that since the end of the season and paying people to help them get better at it, you know?
Right.
So, you know, you just wonder if, you know, I mean, this is where you wonder, you know, did they come out a year early? You know, one of the things DeAndre Baker said yesterday, he's glad he came back for his senior year. His second year as a starter really made a difference for him. He really felt like he improved across the board. Would DeAndre Baker have been the number one cornerback last year? Probably not. He probably made millions of dollars coming back. But what happens is these players have a lot of people around them telling them what they want to hear, telling them what they – look, you don't want to go to class. You don't want to have to deal with these practices. You don't want to deal with the grind. It's time to be a pro. And what is there, 100 – I mean, there's 138 guys that came out early. I mean, you do the math. There's just – there's not enough spots. And, you know, it's starting to happen at Georgia year after year. Now, we'll see what happens on draft day. We'll see what happens at Pro Day. But as far as just this element, it's like if you ask me about the Georgia football season, I'd say it was a great season. But if you ask me about the Texas game, I'd say it didn't go well. Well, if you're asking me about Elijah Holyfield and Isaac Nauta as football players, I think they're great players. But if you're asking me about the combine, they didn't do well.
Mike, I know a lot of the things that us fans like to see is, you know, the on-field drills, the 40, the bench, all that. But another huge thing that we really don't find out about is the interviews, the players. It's their first time meeting one-on-one with NFL scouts and coaches, all that. They have that interview process at the combine. Have you heard anything about anyone's interview, you know, what went well, who kind of stood out to the interviews, or have you not really heard anything about that?
NFL teams don't come out and say, you know, hey, we think this guy's a weirdo. We're not going to draft him. Look, none of the Georgia guys, none of those guys have character issues. None of those guys have character questions. In fact, it's a strength that they come out of the Georgia program. You know, they know what Kirby Smart and what Georgia's all about. They know about the focus. They know about the program. You know, I'm stepping back from this today and yesterday when the results came rolling in. I mean, you know, Jonathan Ledbetter ran a 5.21. You know, you got the Alabama nose guard running a 4.84, you know, 40 pounds heavier. And I'm saying, you know what? The Georgia seniors weren't as good as the Alabama seniors athletically. They weren't. I mean, we look at them covering Georgia. Man, these guys are stars. They win all these games. But you look at them test out, their 40 times aren't the same. The bench press isn't the same. I mean, And it makes you really appreciate what Kirby Smart's done. Now, I think the five stars, the four and the five stars that Kirby Smart has recruited as they come up through the program, and a couple of these underclassmen were examples of that, but I think you're going to see a higher talent level. I think you're going to continue to see a lot of Georgia guys at the combine. I mean, next year you have 13 or 14 guys there because Georgia's got a lot of guys who could go pro early. You could lose both your offensive tackles. That's a whole other conversation for another day, but As for this particular combine, it wasn't like, everybody said, wow, look at how those Georgia guys are running and jumping. I mean, I think the Georgia strength and conditioning staff does a tremendous job. I love all their videos, but this wasn't a banner day for them either. This is their guys. You know, I don't know if they work on the vertical jump at Georgia. I don't know how much you can do with that. I don't know how much you can do with the 40 time. But the Georgia guys didn't, other than McCole Hardman, Georgia didn't show SEC speed.
Speaking with Mike Griffith of DogNation.com, he's been up at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis the last couple days. We certainly appreciate all of his hard work. One interesting thing you get to do up there, and you and I and a lot of us down here, we get a chance to talk to these players throughout the season, and it really feels like they're just giving us all rehearsed answers. There's not much you can pry out of them, but they seem to be a lot more relaxed and kind of speaking off the cuff in this type of situation. You wrote an article for Dog Nation a couple of days ago after you spoke to Jonathan Ledbetter, who sort of gave some interesting quotes about what Georgia fans can maybe expect from new defensive coordinator Dan Lanning. Tell us a little bit about that and what maybe Georgia fans can expect from Dan Lanning based on Ledbetter's comments.
Yeah, Jonathan believes Kirby was looking for more sacks, the second half of last year. We know that Georgia, I believe, ranked next to last in the SEC in sacks. And a lot of that was a byproduct of strategy, okay? Georgia wasn't going to blitz a lot because Georgia wasn't going to give up big plays. Because the other stat, which you don't hear nearly as much about and probably don't appreciate, was Georgia gave up fewer plays of 20 yards or more than any team in the country. You just weren't going to hit the big play on Georgia. And that was by design. I mean, Kirby Smart, he's a mastermind, okay? He's a chestnuts, checkers kind of guy. So, you can grab the low-hanging fruit and say, oh, yeah, they didn't have as many sacks. But you got to look at what the flip side of that was, is they didn't give up as many big plays, which is huge because it's hard to move the ball on Georgia, consistently drive without any big plays. And I think it did quite well for Georgia as they reached number two in the country before a bad afternoon at LSU. That said, Ledbetter thinks that Lanning is going to bring more pressures. He says it has a little bit to do with his personality, but also with the personnel. And he thinks Georgia now has the personnel. We were just talking a minute ago about 40 times and explosion and broad jumps and things like that. Those are the things that show up at the five-star, four-star camps, I suppose. And now Georgia's got a few more of those athletic freaks, I think. At linebacker, outside linebacker, and certainly Ledbetter likes what he sees in the future and thinks that with that type of athleticism, that Georgia's going to be more apt to run more blitzes. And, you mentioned the athletes being a little bit more freewheeling right in what they say. I just posted a story right now about black jerseys that you're going to love. Yeah, fans are going to love it too. And if you ever wondered what the players are thinking, you don't have to wonder if you go to Dog Nation now.
So you're trying to get a lot of clicks is what you're trying to. No, I'm just kidding. That certainly moves the needle whenever those black jerseys are commented. Certainly we're going to go check that out, DogNation.com, see what the players are saying about the black jerseys. I did want to ask you another question about an article you wrote. DeAndre Walker, who got injured early in the SEC championship game, December 1st. I think that really hurt Georgia in the long run, by the way, in that game and against Texas afterwards. But kind of an interesting situation with Walker where they're not sure where he fits in, perhaps on an NFL team. What are you expecting DeAndre Walker when he does eventually, if he eventually finds an NFL home, where he'll be playing?
Yeah. DeAndre said he went out with 6 minutes left in the third quarter, with a groin. Three plays. He said it was three plays before Tua got hurt, but he was dominating. He was having a MVP performance in that game. He'd been living in the backfield. He had a sack, two or three pressures, a forced fumble. I think the result would have been different if DeAndre Walker wouldn't have gotten hurt against Alabama, regardless of whether or not Jalen Hurts came in the game, because he was unblockable in that game and he was making himself a fortune. I do think it hurt him against Texas. And right now, talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC, our partner, AJC Dog Nation, You know, he's under the impression that Walker's going to have a hard time finding a job because of DeAndre's size. Not because, again, not because of his ability or the way he plays or strength. And by the way, he didn't do any testing, so that really hurts him. He can't work out for these teams right now. He had surgery January 23rd, hopes to be cleared by March 20th, but just some really bad luck and bad timing for DeAndre Walker. But at 250, 6'2", 250, a little small to be a run-stopping defensive end and maybe too big to play out in space and cover. And DeAndre's been open about that he feels like he can get better at that coverage element of his game, but that's what's going to hurt his stock. I mean, he's a fantastic athlete. He produced. He's got a good football mindset. But the way the game is moving with a lot of these linebackers now having to play in space, and, you know, you're kind of seeing a new model there at the mic with, you know, guys like Roquan that are light, 20 pounds lighter. So DeAndre Walker right now, maybe a man without a position. But again, all it takes is one team to like him. And, you know, certainly as far as what we write about, we want to write about what people ask about. And you know, fans are always asking me, hey, Mike, you know, can you please ask this or can you please ask that? And typically we don't have a lot of time or many opportunities to ask more than two or three questions. But with DeAndre Baker yesterday at the podium, believe it or not, after about 10 minutes, there was a lull and there were no questions asked. And so that's why I stepped up and even said, I want to ask this question on behalf of the Georgia fans.
We appreciate
about how you feel about black jerseys. And so, you know, you try to be an advocate for your readers, just like you. You guys want to have me on your show so people listen. They want to hear different opinions from people that are experts and attend the event. So I'm just trying to do my job asking that question, Logan.
Mike, you just mentioned DeAndre Baker, and he's running his 40 today. For defensive backs, it's probably they're probably the most important position group for the 40. What do you think he needs to run today to kind of solidify himself as, you know, DB one or two going in the first round?
Yeah, I think a 4.45. You know, if he's under 4.5, I think he's fine. I mean, people love the way DeAndre comes up and hits. They love to see what he does in run support. Not only his coverage, you know, he can match up, he can play zone, he can play man. He's shown he can defend the bigger. They love his confidence. There's a lot to like about this guy. And, you know, obviously he was the Thorpe Award winner. But it's almost to the point, like, you know, he did 14 repetitions on the bench press. Well, that's not a ton, but who cares, right? You don't put a weight bench on the football field. And again, this is just one component of the process. And what you're trying to do here, you know, it's almost like there's the 90% in between. You just want to be in that 90% in between. You don't want to be in the 10% that's last. You know, like I said, I pointed out Holyfield and not as runs. They were in that last 10%. You don't want to be there, right? It's like the bell curve in school, right? There's not a lot of guys that fail class. Most of the people are going to get B, C's, and D's, right? So Baker just needs to get that B, C, D performance. He just needs to avoid doing something glaring that's going to hurt his draft stock. And I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's a high school track All-American. I think the concerns about his speed are grossly overrated. They also look at the three-cone drill. They want to see how he changes direction in the shuttle runs. Those are also big drills and runs for defensive backs, as they have to mirror these athletes on offense, be it running backs or wide receivers that they're up against. So I think Baker will be fine. But the number that he's probably shooting for, he's probably going to try and get in the 4.3s. And I'd say, if I had to guess, I'd say he'd be around a 4.40 to 4.45.
Speaking with Mike Griffith, DogNation.com up in Indianapolis covering the Combine. We'll let you go on this as you come back to Athens. I guess tomorrow you'll be back this way. You'll transition your coverage back to players that are currently on the team. Spring practice begins 2 weeks from tomorrow. As you get ready for that, what are just a couple of storylines that you think will dominate the headlines for the month of spring practice back here in Athens?
Well, I know what we want to write about. You know, I don't know what access Kirby's going to give us. You know, he hasn't talked since, the Sugar Bowl, right? January 1st. I'd like to talk to Jake Fromm every week. You know, I hope we get to talk to Jake about the young receivers. You know, to me, that's going to be big to see who steps up now. Georgia lost four of their top five receivers off of last year's team. I think there's a lot of talent, plenty of talent coming back, but Jake's got to get on the same page with them, and now you got James Coley. So you wonder, how is this offense going to evolve? It's not going to change. The base is not going to change. Kirby Smart, It has his hands all over this. And this is what people need to realize. And I've seen it over and over with defensive coaches. They get so mad about offensive coordinators. They don't understand the guy writing the check is the head ball coach. And nothing happens without the head ball coach knowing or wanting it, especially at Georgia. I mean, this is not a democracy in the Georgia football meeting room. Kirby Smart knows exactly what he wants, and he's going to make sure that his coaches carry that out. Now, that's not to say he doesn't have input or have discussions or even maybe change his opinions on things. But at the end of the day, we're going to see what Kirby Smart wants to see. So, that said, Georgia will be able to run the football. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Kirby ain't dumb. He's going to play to his personnel. He said it last fall. And this personnel is very equipped to run up-tempo and multi-receiver sets. And I think you're going to see more of that. Obviously, you know, in the past we've seen a lot of double tight end. We've got to see what happens when Eli Wolf gets here in May, the transfer from Tennessee. But right now they're a little thin in that room. So I think we're going to see, you know, Georgia. Well, I don't think we're going to see, but because they don't let us into practices but for about 10 minutes. But I think what's going to happen this spring is Georgia's going to really focus on that passing game, that up-tempo game. They're really going to ride Jake Fromm. To me, that's the story. I think the defense is going to be unbelievable. There's going to be a lot of those names and on the front seven that are going to emerge. I think the front seven is going to take a big step up. Probably won't hear as much about that till the fall. Kirby will start drilling those guys and calling out the guys that aren't quite where they need to be like he did last fall with Richard LeCount. But in the spring, it's going to be about that pass game and get that up-tempo game going and throw to those backs out of the backfield because you got some guys out of the backfield can do some amazing things. And if DeAndre Swift stays healthy, he's a Heisman Trophy finalist going to New York. Mark it down. If he stays healthy, if he doesn't miss any playing time, if he doesn't miss any practice time in the fall, Swift's going to be in New York City next year. He'll also be going pro after that.
Certainly love hearing that. Great stuff from Mike Griffith of DogNation.com. Thanks for joining us from Indianapolis this morning. Enjoy your last day there. A little something different you get to do, and obviously safe travels back to Athens in the next coming days. And thanks a lot for your time. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, look forward to it, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.